Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Vegas Golden Knights are headed to the Stanley Cup Final.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Mike Curry.
And you heard it there right at the start. It happened.
It happened.
It happened.
It happened.
I cannot believe what we have just witnessed. An expansion team has taken the Western Conference.
Vegas.
And they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. This is the second time in history that you've seen an expansion team, funny enough, take the Western Conference. Well, it wasn't the Western Conference back then, right? I think it was the Campbell Conference.
The funny thing was about
the Clarence Campbell Trophy has been claimed by an expansion team for the second time ever in NHL history.
Pretty much. The funny thing about it as a whole, St. Louis did it in their first year. That was the big 1967 expansion that doubled the league, went from six teams to 12. People forget all the expansion teams were in their own division. There wasn't really
so there was going to be a
expansion team in the finals no matter what.
There was an original six team facing an expansion team in the finals.
Yeah.
Way to stack the deck.
Yeah.
The hell?
That was the first 3 years.
That's awful.
Yeah. That was the first
no
3 years.
No wonder St. Louis got swept
all three times. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
But now you have 31 teams, and Vegas has...
Vegas is way more impressive.
It's not even that they're in the Stanley Cup Final. They've taken the West and just kicked it down.
12-3.
12-3 through three series.
Yeah.
The most trouble that they had was with San Jose.
Yep.
Somehow. They take down the Jets in five games, something that I would never have seen coming.
You did not think that would happen.
I would not have thought five games.
You, after game one, was like, Winnipeg is going to run over the Knights.
I screwed over the Winnipeg Jets because the minute that podcast 1 week ago, funny what a week does for you, Frank. Funny what a week does because 1 week ago, I was saying the Jets are going to steamroll whoever they face in the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. And now, good night.
Yep.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets are done. And I see Lou DiBiase on the other side of this glass. I wonder if he's hearing us right now. He's chuckling over there. What's so funny, giggly bits? That's how it goes, Leftovers Podcast.
Yeah.
Random people coming in and out. Pop their heads in, do whatever, distract us from behind the glass, you know, whatever. There's no real producer for this show because it's a podcast. There's not really much that has to be done. Frank and I are both capable of editing audio.
It's true. That's why we work here.
That's why we work here. They did it. And again,
man.
Funny how a week turns. I was slamming Ryan Reeves being in the Vegas lineup, and what happens? He scores a game-winning goal that clinches the series 4-1. So, Derek, shut your mouth forever. Mm-hmm. Go in the corner and don't
stay there.
Don't deliver takes anymore. Is what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
No, they were impressive this whole time. That game five, the Vegas forecheck was just amazing. I mean, you're looking at a team that was just pressuring the Jets defenders to turn the puck over, cough it up. It caused the first goal of the game. Alex Tuck steals a puck away because Josh Morrissey's panicking, and his pass hits a skate, and it goes right to Tuck, who, well, for lack of a better word, ducks it into the net behind Connor Hellebuyck. Winnipeg, they did well to respond, and it was actually Morrissey, the man who was the GOAT on Vegas' first goal, blasts a clapper right from the faceoff, and it's 1-1. Ryan Reeves tips it. It's 2-1, and there it is. It's done. And the Vegas Golden Knights, Frank, are in the Stanley Cup final. We're going to get more on Vegas in a moment because we'll look at the Eastern final here.
Yeah.
And what happened there? Funny what a week does for you.
Funny what a week does.
The Caps were up 2-0.
The home team finally won a game.
Yeah, the home team finally won a game in Tampa. Washington needs to make sure that that trend continues for at least one more game where the home team can finally do something. Because if not, they're done in six games. And are we back to the same old Caps?
Kind of.
I'm not going to say that because I think that Tampa was a favorite throughout this whole process.
But they were up 2-0. Washington won the first two games.
They did.
And Washington, interesting stat line, by the way, Washington has a history of blowing 2-0 leads.
Mm-hmm. Well, they managed.
They are 13-43 in series where they lead 2-0. Maybe I don't know.
Your number can't be right there.
I read somewhere that that was it.
Because that would mean that the Capitals have been in the playoffs like every year forever.
They could have multiple series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But still, then the number would be stacked the other way, right? Because if they've blown so many 2-0 series leads, that number can't be right.
I'm going to double check it.
Because by my quick
I did read somewhere that they are
playoff series.
That they are not good when leading two Knicks.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, you had Bruce Boudreau, the king of the choke, as one of your coaches, and
yeah,
the amount of game sevens that man lost for that club, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Washington had a 2-0 series lead. They had them right where they wanted them, and it had me feeling good about the Washington Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Well, they lose three straight now, and the streaky team is here. But now, if they collect one more streak, a two-game win streak, they get it.
Yeah.
The winner faces a Vegas Golden Knights team, and again, we'll get to them in a moment. Tampa's kind of looking like the team that they were supposed to now. They couldn't have picked a better time to show up, really. I mean, you're looking at a Tampa team that they are dangerous. They roll four lines. They've got a defensive core that Ryan McDonagh is on the second pair. It's like, okay, guys, cool. And when that trade was made, everyone thought, okay, Tampa better win the cup.
Yeah.
They better get there.
Yep.
And you saw no problems against Boston. You saw more problems against New Jersey than Boston when it came to the games, at least the wins, because Boston was very close in all those games. It just ended up a five-game set.
Yeah.
But they cleared out Boston in five. Next thing you know, they're down two games on Washington, and everyone's like, okay, what's going on here? Is this a Capitals team of destiny? No, the team of destiny is on the other side of the on the other side there of the country.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Washington still has a legitimate chance here.
They do. They still have a chance.
Monday night, and oh hey, you know what this means though? By the way, it means that we got some nightcap on Tuesday night and Thursday night guaranteed because there's no Western Conference Finals. There's no more Western Conference Finals.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's over. So we got some nightcap for you this week, and so Ryan will be back for you guys on Tuesday.
Maybe not on Monday
because the game still has to be played.
Yeah,
so at least one more game of Eastern Conference Finals action for you on WGR. So, Frank, I think, though, that for Washington to be able to succeed here, they need a better game out of some of their big-name players. Evgeny Kuznetsov is one of those guys. I mean, Ovechkin continuing to show up.
Yeah.
Braden Holtby needs to be able to step it up again because they're doing a great job limiting shots on Tampa. However, it's just got to be the quality chances. And this is the question that we've had with Washington was, can their defensive core stay stable enough to help you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there it is. Holtby is facing dangerous chances. And yes, he's been able to make a save every now and then. But it's when you look at the volume and what Vasilevsky's been doing, and then on the other side, Holtby's making 19 saves, 21 saves. You look at it and you look at it real quick and go, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it's more or less it's high percentage chances that Tampa is getting. Also, you got to stop taking penalties against that team.
Washington,
you've got to stop taking penalties.
God, they look so good the first two games.
I saw Lars Eller had taken five penalties in the last two games or something like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, they score on a bunch of them. And sometimes,
especially Stamkos.
Yeah, Stamkos has been hitting.
That's kind of what he does.
He's been hitting from the Ovi spot in that left faceoff dot.
Yeah.
No, I think though that if Washington could stay a little disciplined in this game, they've got their chance because they're outplaying Tampa Bay most times in 5-on-5 right now.
Yeah.
A ridiculous statement that you'd be thinking of
mm-hmm.
before this. So I think that this goes 7. I think this one goes the distance.
So you think Washington wins game 6?
I think Washington wins game 6. I think this goes the distance, but I also think that Tampa ultimately comes out in the end because they've recovered from a bad situation. And for the most part, they're playing like the team that they're supposed to.
Right.
A team playing like that still loses a game every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think they lose that.
Yeah, Washington, they can't lose, but I don't know.
So
I kind of said it earlier. If this is truly Washington's year to finally do it, they're going to beat Tampa. But I kind of had a feeling that this was their year to finally get over the hump and get to the third round. But that might be it for them.
They just need to get back to what they were doing, which was taking less penalties, playing disciplined hockey, and not letting that Tampa Bay power play rip them apart.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in those first two games. And their defensive core needs to stabilize. And mm-hmm. that's a big step and a big ask of that team. But I think that Washington takes this thing to 7, and it's going to give their fans hope. And trust us here in Buffalo, hope is dangerously poisonous and evil. It's the worst thing in the world. So, no, I think that we've got a pretty good series here in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's a shame that this one in the West ended.
Yeah, it's a shame.
All right, so now we've talked about the games themselves, Frank. I need to ask of the opinion. Because I don't know how often we have talked about this necessarily. Is this good or bad for the NHL? That an expansion team
success
is in the Stanley Cup. That they can win the cup in their first year of existence.
Yeah.
Is this good or bad for the NHL?
I think what this does is it shows that the NHL gave Vegas every opportunity to be good, to make a good team.
Greg Wyshynski, he was on with Chopin Bulldog last week, back on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and he said something that really kind of made sense. He said that the NHL didn't fix the draft for Vegas. They just fixed the expansion draft. Because the aim was that Vegas was supposed to be a little more competitive.
Yes.
Did they expect Pacific Division winner and Western Conference champion?
No.
Possibly Stanley Cup winner?
No.
No.
Not at all.
But this is what happened when George McPhee gamed a couple GMs.
Yeah.
Like, everyone thought that the Sabres were going to get gamed on something. They only paid up Will Carrier and a sixth round pick.
They paid a sixth round pick for the Knights to take Carrier and not Linus Ullmark.
And that was a big deal for them.
Yep.
Furthermore, but like, everyone thought, you know, the Sabres could be one of those teams that gets poached from someone.
Yeah.
Nope. Not even close.
Nope.
I think you could have even exposed Robin Leonard, protected Ullmark, and still been fine because Vegas was going to take Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
So why the hell would you need Robin Leonard?
Yeah, that's true.
Not that it mattered. You only lost a 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
I think, though, that a lot of GMs got gamed in this one, and this is why Vegas was such a rousing success. Dale mm-hmm. Talon in particular and the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gave Riley Smith to the Panthers in order to select Jonathan Marchessault, who you did not protect.
The fact that Florida let Vegas take Marchessault and then traded them Riley Smith as well, because that was an actual trade.
Yeah,
Vegas gave Florida a 4th-round pick for Riley Smith. Mm. Like, that was a legit trade.
But still,
but I think that was
letting Marchessault be
letting
the
Marchessault
player drafted.
Be taken. Is
why didn't you why didn't you expose Riley Smith instead of having to trade him?
They did expose him.
Oh, so they did expose Riley Smith as well.
Yeah.
Why didn't you protect Jonathan Marchessault? I don't know. I don't understand. Riley Smith under Gerard Gallant is a different player than Riley Smith under many other coaches.
Yeah.
And that's why they thought that contract that Smith got was a bad idea and suddenly a mistake because they'd fired Gallant unceremoniously.
Yeah.
Take a taxi on your own, bud. You're gone. And the ultimate revenge story is happening here. Like, mm-hmm. how much is Dale Talon, like, trying to black out from everything every night that the Vegas Golden Knights are doing something?
Yeah.
That's two-thirds of a top line.
Of their top line.
Given to them.
Yeah.
Yes, William Karlsson, I think, has a fluke season more than anything else this year. You don't hit 22% on your shooting percentage and that be a constant for your career.
Yeah.
And of course he got 40 goals. The guy's shooting at an outrageous clip, one every five shots.
Mm-hmm.
Almost one of every four.
Yep.
But no doubt that had something to do with the playmaking abilities of Smith and Marchessault as well. You know, like once you go on a breakaway and do it between the legs when you're tied at one, that's just kind of your year there, William Karlsson. That goal against the Sharks, it's just like, come on, man. Did you need to do that?
Yeah.
No, but guess what? It's your year. Have it.
Yeah, it's...
But then Nashville was in a tough spot. They had to give up a player of quality.
Yeah.
And it was James Neal.
And it made sense. It made sense,
for them
to give up Neal because they had to keep their four defensemen. And you knew they were protecting Johansson. You knew they were protecting Arvidsson. You knew
Forsberg.
They were protecting Forsberg. And then it was a matter of who's that fourth guy that they're going to protect.
Yeah.
They chose Callie Yarncrook. Okay. You know what? That's fine. You give up James Neal.
He had a massive contract and it was expiring.
He had the bigger contract that's expiring at the end of the year. He's getting older. He showed some signs of decline last year.
And even then, he hasn't been a difference maker.
And he's still been really good.
He's been good, but he's not like the reason. He's a solid top six forward.
He's been not solid on their second line.
And Nashville said, you know what? I'd rather lose a top six forward than lose any piece of that defensive core that we've got right now.
And they knew that they had guys coming up.
Yes. So I think that...
And obviously, they signed Bonino. They traded for Kyle Turris.
Yeah, they made some additional moves. And, the buzzsaw that was the Jets, they fought off to seven games.
Yep.
You look at Anaheim. Anaheim gave a player away so that they wouldn't take two other of their prospects that they had on defense. I mean, Josh Manson being in particular.
Yeah, they gave up Shea Theodore so that Vegas can take Clayton Stoner, and then Anaheim is able to keep Manson and Sammy Vatanen.
Yeah, they were able to keep Vatanen, who they later traded, funny enough. But they were able to keep Vatanen. They were able to keep Manson. That was the guy. That was their guy.
Yeah.
But they had to give something up for it, and, I mean, you took on Clayton Stoner. That's a pretty fair price to get Shea Theodore, who has played a lot better than people thought he would play this year. Everyone thought that the guy would end up developing later on. But he was one of their best defense players right away.
Yeah.
And
I really don't think it should have been that surprise. He was with Anaheim most of last year, although mostly on their third pairing because of what they had already. He was showing
But everyone thought that Vegas was going to put together a roster that was not supposed to necessarily be good.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And then therefore, I mean, hey, Theodore started out rotting in the AHL.
He did.
Because George McPhee took so many subpar defensemen, it was hard to get rid of them all.
Yeah, he did. So, real quick, to get away from Vegas real quick, when we were talking about the cap stuff.
Yes.
I went ahead and checked out all their seasons and all the playoff years where they were up 2-0 in a series.
Oh, no.
And I have the results of, after going up 2-0, what happened in the rest of the series.
They went...
How
many times?
I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times. They've been up 2-0
I'm going to guess that they went 1-9 in those series.
They are 3-7 in the series.
Not bad.
The actual series. But their overall, but their record in games after going up 2-0 is 9-30.
Ew.
Yeah. First year was 85, and this was when it was a 5-game series. They were up 2-0, they lost the last three games.
Ouch.
To the Islanders.
Well.
1992, they were up 2-0 against Pittsburgh, and then they lost 4 out of 5.
Yep.
96, up 2-0 against Pittsburgh, lost 4 straight.
This is going to be a theme.
98, they were up 2-0 against Ottawa and won the series in 5 games. That was the year they went to the final. That was in the second round that they played Buffalo in, yeah.
Yep.
2003, they were up 2-0 on Tampa Bay and lost the last 4 games.
By the way, lucky us, right?
2009, They were up 2-0 against Pittsburgh. Lost 4-5. That was the first year of Ovechkin versus Crosby in the playoffs. 2011, they were up 2-0 against the Rangers, won the series in 5 games.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
They cleaned that up real quick.
Yeah. One of the series they actually wins. 2013, up 2-0 against the Rangers. Lost 4-5. 2016, they were up 2-0, up 3-0 against Philly, but they're up 2-0, and then they won the series in 6 games.
Yep.
That was the one where Neuvirth stole a couple games for Philly. Where, you know, Mason gave up that
Half ice goal in the playoffs, and he's like, are you kidding, buddy?
And now this year they were up 2-0 against Tampa, and so far I've lost the last 3 games.
Well, let's see what happens. If they lose 4 straight, I think that hurts more. You got to get one back, and I think they're good enough to. But now back to Vegas.
Yeah. So that was a little fun thing right there.
Vegas, though, it is. They took advantage of some teams. But there were some other teams that just had nothing for you. How many times had people, like, I remember how many times Ryan Gates would do these expansion mock drafts.
Oh, I did a lot of them, too.
Everyone did them. They were the craze around here. And it turned into this, you know, like, albatross of a roster.
Yep.
Because you had nothing from the likes of, like, Carolina or Chicago or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, there were a lot of... A lot of teams where they didn't really get a lot, and then they picked a player and then specifically traded him for picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like they took Calvin Pickard from Colorado and then traded him to Toronto.
They did that though for a reason, because Boston in all their Boston-ness decided to waive Malcolm Subban, and Vegas was like, that's a free backup goaltender.
Yep,
that we can develop.
Yeah, who's young?
We're gonna take him.
Yeah, who's young?
And they did. So,
and then they were also able to get Colin Miller from Boston as well.
The amount of ways that GMs played themselves in this expansion draft.
Yep.
And the amount, and there were even times where there was mercy shown. I mean, the Islanders, they could have snagged something real good from the island, and they didn't.
Well,
they ended up with Mikhail Grabowski.
Well, Vegas did get a first round pick from the Islanders.
So, but Garth Snow pleaded with him, and he got away with it.
Yep.
But think about that.
Tampa had to give stuff up. As well, they traded a second round pick. They traded a second, a fourth, and a prospect, Nikita Gusev, who right now is being looked at as the best player not in the NHL right now, who is currently playing in the KHL, so that Vegas can take Jason Garrison.
And Garrison had done well for them.
He was fine, but he was also on waivers. He did get put on waivers. He was in the minors throughout some of the year as well.
Yeah.
But like teams like Carolina, they took Connor Brickley, who ended up going back into the draft anyway, so it didn't really matter. But Vegas got a free pick out of it as well. The Jets, Vegas took Chris Thorburn, who went to free agency, but Vegas got a first, a third round pick. Let's see here. Looking at, they took Mark Methot from Ottawa and then traded him to Dallas. They took David Schlemko from San Jose and traded him to Montreal. They took Alexei Yemlin from Montreal and traded him to Nashville.
Yep.
They were given Alex Tuch to take Eric Halla from Minnesota.
That one hurts too. Minnesota did some
Eric Halla has been their second line center. Alex Tuch has been a very reliable winger for them.
Yeah, Minnesota was another one. But they also were a little. Unlike Florida, they were a little more strapped because they had 4 defensemen that they did not want to give up. Matthew Dumba, Marco Scandella at the time before he was traded, Ryan Suter, who they couldn't
protect.
Jonas Brodin. They had 4 defensemen that they needed
to. And also Jared Spurgeon.
How could I forget? So they had 5 defensemen right there that they needed to at least have something, some form of protection there.
So because they were going to trade one.
They were going to lose, well, not that, but they were just going to lose one of them for nothing.
Well, right, but if they wouldn't, right, but they were going to trade one of them anyway.
Right,
and they
did lose one of them for nothing.
Yeah. Then you had William Karlsson, who Vegas was given a first-round pick in David Clarkson's contract to take from Columbus, so they didn't take Josh Anderson.
Or... They took
Trevor Van
Riem. It was the other one. It was Jonas Korpisalo.
It was Korpisalo as well.
They were protecting Jonas Korpisalo.
Yeah.
That was the big one.
It was both of them.
Yeah.
It was pretty much both. They took Trevor Van Riemsdyk from Chicago and then traded him to Carolina. And once again, you know, they're getting more picks out of it.
Yep.
And then they were giving us, Pittsburgh gave Vegas a second round pick to take Fleury. People forget that. Pittsburgh did trade them a second round pick, which I guess was agreed upon like early, like back, like I heard it was like back in February. They were like, we'll give you this second round pick 3 years from now and just promise us you'll take Fleury.
Yeah, I think, it, you know, and also,
regardless
of
what happens.
Yeah, the biggest thing though with Pittsburgh is either way, a quality goaltender was being taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they knew, well, why not try to go with age over experience here? And Marc-Andre Fleury has
proven Pittsburgh, to be... we knew that Pittsburgh was going to expose Fleury.
Yes.
We knew that Pittsburgh wanted to protect Matt Murray. We knew that they wanted to.
Yeah, and
that was their plan.
The biggest thing though was
the biggest thing was Fleury had a no movement.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have automatically had to been protected, but he had to waive it.
Yep. Which they managed to get him to do.
Which they asked him to do it back in February, and he said, and Fleury said, yeah, he'll do it.
He knew that it was his last chance.
He knew that Matt Murray was taking the job.
And they at least got him that cup. You know,
they got him the second cup, yeah.
They got him his second cup there, so.
Now he's going back for a potential three-peats.
Oh, my God. Marc-Andre Fleury is in three straight Stanley Cup finals, isn't he?
Yeah.
This time a much bigger role.
Yeah. This time he's actually playing.
This time he's the guy. And he was just the guy there against Winnipeg. So, again, Frank, it all comes back, though, to is this good or bad for the NHL that this happened? Because there's no way this gets repeated. There is no way that general managers are going to botch this up again, because this is the first time an expansion draft was happening.
This is
going to
make Seattle really interesting.
It makes Seattle interesting, but I think that it makes it the general managers are going to be tougher about it.
Yes. So what that means is you might be seeing more first round picks being traded to Seattle.
And Seattle more might be that team that everyone thought Vegas was going to be, the team that collects picks and garbage in order to start off slower, but build the prospect system that no one can ever believe
yes.
in.
Yes. Teams,
by the way,
GMs
Vegas
are going to do
a
everything
bunch
they can.
Picks.
Yeah, they still got picks. And even with the Tatar trade, I'm going to go
they,
to their
If they get John Tavares,
real quick.
I think we've got ourselves a
Oh,
State
God,
problem.
If they get John Tavares.
If they get John Tavares, we got
very
a Golden
possible
State problem.
Still. Very possible. It's very possible. Vegas has the cap space.
Then William Karlsson goes to your second line, man. Okay. Sure.
So, this year's draft, Vegas doesn't have a lot of, well, they have a normal amount of picks in this year's draft.
That's right, because it was their
They first don't draft, have a first-round pick.
They had three picks in their inaugural draft.
Yes, in last year.
In 2017.
They had a lot of, yes.
They had three first-round picks in 2017.
They had a total of 12 picks total
yes.
in last year's draft. Three first rounds, yeah.
It was
couple
Cody
seconds.
Glass, right, their first pick?
Cody Glass, yes. Nick Suzuki, Eric Brännström.
Yeah.
In this upcoming draft, they don't have a first. They have 1 second. They don't have a third. They have 2 fourths, which is Pittsburgh and Vancouver's. They have 2 fifths, which is their own and Carolina's.
Their first round pick was traded for the likes of what, Thomas Tatar there?
It was the Tatar trade.
God. They gave up 3 picks for that man, and meanwhile...
They gave about a pick, the first-round pick this year, a second-round pick in 2019, and a third-round pick of 2020.
And meanwhile, we got a second-rounder conditional...
For Kane and a player.
And a low-end prospect.
And then they have their own 6 and Toronto 6, and they don't have a 7th. But then next year, they have all of their picks, plus Columbus's 2nd, Nashville, Winnipeg's 3rd, and Montreal's 5th. And in 2020... They have all their own, plus Dallas and Pittsburgh's second-round pick. So they got a lot.
They've got a lot coming. And if they draft well, they're going to be a great team for a long time.
Yep.
This is a team
special,
that,
and they will, and it will even be better if they can land a guy like Tavares.
Yeah, if they land Tavares, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem officially.
It's a huge problem.
But, again, is this good or bad? Because there are fans on the fence about this.
It has to be good. I think it's really good for the NHL because it makes what looked like a high-risk move of an NHL team in that market, which no pro sports team has been, and they're successful right away, that looks really good on the league that they made by making this choice. Because now you got the media outlets, you got the other leagues thinking – They made a good choice here by expanding to Vegas. And plus, Vegas had to be good right away. Because if they were bad,
Fans aren't showing up.
Fans aren't showing up. And what's happening in almost 3 years? The Raiders are coming.
They would have lost all those fans to the Raiders.
Yes. Now that, because they're successful now, and if they can maintain the success when the Raiders come in, they're gonna be fine.
Hotbed.
It's going to be a sports hotbed there. And players are going to want to go play there.
I feel like they didn't have to be good, though. And that's the one thing.
They didn't have to.
The one thing I'm disagreeing with, because the reason Vegas got a team in the first place was because how popular the NHL awards show was in Vegas. I mean, you know a person, and the person I'm referring to, one of my friends. I have people that are down there that live in Vegas.
Yeah.
And they're very familiar with this whole situation.
Yeah.
And what they told me was the NHL was going to test well in this because fans loved their hockey there. And the biggest thing that he had said to me was that Vegas transplants kind of want something to call their own. You know, have a little pride in where they had to move.
Yeah.
And this is that. They didn't have to be good right away. They just ended up being great.
That's fair.
Now, here's my counter twist to this, because I mostly agree. I think it's awesome. I think it's hilarious. And I think that every time that you see Vegas winning, it's just like, guys, NHL GMs, what did you do? Florida, you really
you messed up. You dong gong messed up.
You wet yourself big time here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but now, I think the one thing I could say about it being bad is this. What's the point of being a fan of another team when you can just jump on the expansion bandwagon just like that, and bam, you have an instant winner? It's one of those things where it kind of just looks foolish for the league, because an expansion team can just show up, grabbing the ninth best player typically on many rosters, and they're a Stanley Cup finalist. That's where the problem lies. It's not necessarily a fan perspective. It is an outlook on the outside perspective of the league.
But at the same time, you can't really control what the fans do. You can't control the fan. If the fans see this
fan
team,
feelings are one thing.
Yeah.
And I don't care about that. I'm caring about the league optics on this one, how this could make the NHL look like the garage league that they generally are. That a brand new team could take usually what is the ninth best player. Usually. I say usually.
Yeah.
Because obviously Fleury, James Neal, those are guys that, you know, they're better, more quality players.
Yeah.
Marchessault, Smith. But those are the outliers.
Yeah.
Those are guys that, you know, a team didn't necessarily think they had to worry about. William Karlsson was not supposed to score 40 goals.
Nope.
But again, this makes the league look silly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have teams like Arizona, like Buffalo, like Edmonton right now that are in Ottawa and Montreal now as well, where, and you could throw the Rangers now in this, where you have teams that are really struggling to get themselves back into gear. And the Rangers just found out that their window has shut and they're hitting the reset button. Montreal got a down year from Carey Price and they are garbage. Ottawa is just going to die.
They might be trading Karlsson.
Ottawa's just going to be gone forever. Buffalo came out and put up a dud in a season. They were supposed to take another step. Arizona continues to just meh their way to the bottom of the standings.
Yep.
Edmonton got a great year of players. And then now it's Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and a bunch of slow guys.
Yeah.
You see all these teams, though, and you just think to yourselves, what about us? What's going on here? You see the Islanders giving up goals as much as they score them, and they're leading the league in both categories. You see these teams, though, and you think to yourself, an expansion team just came in here and ruled you.
It doesn't.
They had a 100-point season. It wasn't even close. There are fan bases, of course, that are going to feel like garbage for this.
Yeah.
But now, furthermore, it just looks silly on the league that an expansion team could just come in here, because what other league is that going to be able to happen?
It also doesn't help that they were able to get a really good GM.
And
George
really
McPhee is a really good GM and a really good head coach in Gerard Gallant, who should have never fired to begin with.
Because they fired him because he didn't embrace analytics, and then they changed out the analytics gang.
Anyway.
And dished out two high analytics players in Marchessault and Smith.
Yeah.
So Florida just derped up everything.
Florida is one of the main reasons.
Florida's the biggest catalyst for this.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
But again, I just think the league-wise, it can look foolish that an expansion team didn't just come in here and win. They dominated. That's my problem. That's my only problem, is that the NHL can continue looking like the clown show that they generally are.
How much do you think the Vegas tragedy had to do with it?
None.
You don't think so?
I don't think
so. You don't
so.
Think that because it happened right before their home opener, that it kind of gave the players like that some kind of extra push?
Maybe it's a boost to start the season, but it's not something that can affect what's going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs where they've lost three times.
Yeah.
They have more shutouts from Marc-Andre Fleury than losses.
Okay?
That's how unreal I'm talking. That's where I think the NHL has a black eye in all of this, is because this is just what happened. They did not just come into the playoffs and slug their way to the finals. They came in and ran roughshod over everyone.
Yeah.
They took a team in Winnipeg and put a 5-game set on them. They won 4 straight.
It's basically a sweep.
They gave them the gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
They let Winnipeg have one. You know, just let them, you know, like, you know, the cocky boxer, you know, he's just like, yeah, come on, you get one shot to the face.
You get one shot.
And they got them good, and they go, okay. We're taking you seriously.
Yep.
And then just
bam.
Gone. Yep. Dunyans.
Gone.
Over.
Bye.
I think it's just that the league could look bad. Other than that, it is a fantastic story. It is hilarious to watch all these GMs just get played. And three, really for me, I don't care as a fan that Vegas is in the finals. I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyone
too.
That says, oh, their fan base didn't suffer anything. They didn't endure any losses or hardship.
They're supposed to do it the hard way.
What a crock of stuff. You want to know why? They're an expansion team. Most expansion teams have this sort of thing happen. You want to know what happens to expansion teams generally? They don't get fans right away. This is big for hockey in itself.
It is big for hockey.
I get it. You're salty because the team sucked. Buffalo fans, you know, that don't like what's going on here in Vegas. You just saw a team with Jack Eichel bottom out.
Yeah.
I think, though, that this is great for the fans of hockey. It may look bad for the league, but I think this is fun. It's a great story. That is the one thing that might, once again, save the NHL's ass. Because it's a story. And it's a great story. It's a fun story. It's an engaging story. You have personalities like Marc-Andre Fleury in the final.
Mm-hmm.
You have spurned players like Marchessault and Smith. You have breakouts like Carlson, Shea Theodore. You have a Jack Adams finalist. And a GM who put together a Caps roster that generally choked away their lives.
And then put together this one.
And then
one.
Put together this one that has not choked up anything.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun story. It's a great looking team, and they play such an amazing style. They play fast and loose.
Mm-hmm.
But it's aggressive. They're at you, at your throats all the time. That game 5 against Winnipeg that we just watched, it was a thing of beauty watching that forecheck and that offensive zone pressure. There's nothing more frustrating for a defenseman than not having time to break out and make the right decision with the puck because you have to get it out of there because you're going to turn it over because they're going to steal it from you. Next thing you know, you give it to one of their guys and it's just like, oh God, here we go again. Now you got to scramble back in your own zone. So it's a great style, too. That's what makes it fun. It's not like they're slugging their way through this, you know, playing boring hockey.
Yeah, it's
playing,
not like
they're not playing Devils 90s hockey.
They're fun.
They're fun. They're just entertaining.
It just shows. It really shows that in the NHL,
maybe you need a good goalie.
You don't need to have all the star power to win.
You just need someone really good in net.
I mean, there's a lot of variations to it. Like
Vegas, you look at that Vegas defensive core, man. You tell me before the season that this was going to be the Stanley Cup finalists. Even if Shea Theodore played like what he was projected to be.
Pittsburgh won the final last year and they didn't have Chris Letang. And
Chris Letang was garbage this year.
Yeah. So, but Gord Miller was on TSM Montreal, and we could talk about that too. Well, talk about stuff too, because he's talked about stuff with Tavares and possibly going to the Sabres.
You know, I don't need much on the Sabres this time around, man.
Okay, but he had also said, and I found it really interesting. You look at teams like Montreal, and then you look at teams like Vegas, and you look at teams that have star power but like average goaltending. And he said, "I would rather have the star power or an average goaltending than the best goaltending and an average team, like especially with their defensive core." Vegas has kind of done both, where they've got a really good goalie, an average defensive core,
but they've got some.
But then they got the talent up front.
But I don't think Riley Smith is a superstar. I think Carlson's
Riley Smith is very I've always thought he's a very underrated superstar.
I don't think he's star power.
I don't think he's star power.
I think he's good, but
I've always looked at him as a good top six player.
If I'm looking at one of them
to be in the, who needs to be good in the right situation.
If I'm looking at any one of them, it's Marchessault.
Yeah.
And he was the one that was given the first big old contract extension by Vegas.
Yeah, and it's a really good contract.
It's a big old reward.
It's a good, like, it's a team-friendly contract.
But it's also, for him, a really nice bump in salary. Carlson's next, and I don't think they're going to give him what you would think because everyone's going to see that 22% shooting percentage, and they're going to be, dude, you are going to step off a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll give you, obviously, something that we project where you're going to be, but you're also only an RFA. You're our territory still.
Yeah, he is. And, so, but he's RFA with arbitration.
Yeah, so maybe with arbitration, he might get a little bit more.
He might.
But I think that there
is
really...
If you want to predict William Karlsson's next contract, it's probably going to be because he's also 25. He might be turning... If he's turning 26, he might get a similar contract that Marchessault got. Maybe he'll get a little bit less.
I think he gets a little less, but not too much. I think, though, that the Vegas Golden Knights...
He's 25 now. He turns 26 next year. Maybe he gets a five-year deal worth around four and a half.
Now, my last question...
Because Marchessault got $5 million.
My last question is this.
Yeah.
What do you think goes on from here, not just for Vegas, but for Seattle?
And
My Seattle prediction I'll save for last year, but my Vegas prediction is this. Is this sustainable? And I think yes.
I think it is, but they got to continue to build.
They have to continue
to
build.
If they roll out basically the same team as last year, they're not going to have the same success.
Of course.
You're losing David Perron
and James Neal.
You might re-sign one of them because you got a lot of cap space. They can re-sign players, but it depends on what they want to do because maybe they want a guy. Maybe they're going to really make a play for Tavares. So you're definitely letting go either James Neal or David Perron.
Yep.
Are they gonna cut some salary because you got guys like Cody Eakin who's got two years left at almost $4 million. You might not need, you gotta re-sign Colin Miller, you gotta re-sign Shea Theodore. You gotta re-sign William Carey is not gonna be a lot. Thomas Noakes is not gonna be a lot. William Karlsson depends on what he wants. You've already got Marchessault locked up. And you got Tatar Riley Smith for another few years as well. And you got Brady McNabb, you got Nate Schmidt, Derry England. So, and like I said, they got almost $25 million in cap space going into the offseason.
They're going to have room to sign some of these guys. I think
what needs to happen is they got to stick to what their plan was from the beginning. Whatever that plan was from the beginning, if it's to build for the future, continue to do it.
Continue doing it, yes. I think, though, that there is a chance that they're going to have that steady success because as long as they keep drafting well, they're going to take a step back in year two. It's just natural.
Yeah.
There's no way you can be this opportunistic and this dominant.
Unless they get a guy like Tavares.
If they get John Tavares, it's over. Yeah. if they get John Tavares, the Vegas Golden Knights are winning another cup
probably
within the next 2 years.
Yeah.
As long as you draft well, I think Vegas is going to be fine. Seattle. What do you think happens in Seattle?
I think the NHL is going to pretty much roll out the same expansion rules. Pretty much, I would expect it to be the same because I've heard that they want to make it the same. However, I think the GMs are going to be smarter. I think what they're going to do, I think they're going to be more willing to give stuff up so that they could keep their players.
I would agree with that to an extent. I think if we've got the same rules, you're going to get a pretty similar result out of Seattle. They're going to be good. I do agree with the fact, though, that there are now GMs around this league that are going to have done this already. But that doesn't mean that that's a good thing. because you still have the likes of a Bergevin, a Dorian, a Garth Snow, and a Jim Benning.
Yeah, some GMs are gonna you know, probably do a little too much or not enough.
And
but I think more GM
from Vegas though was.
But
it
no,
wasn't,
but think
it wasn't
about
a collective. It was three or four GMs that really
Vegas
messed up.
Got not only their own first round pick in the they also had what was it? They also had two other. They were given other two other first round picks, and they were that's how many extra first round picks they were given. They got. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle got more.
I'm not disagreeing with that
because I think more GMs are going to have to give up more stuff to protect their players.
But at the same time, if you're not getting picks and refilling your system, you end up like the Rangers. Or the Red Wings.
But this is what happens in expansion.
If but you have to... But rule when, number one when is the, when rule the, number one is this. Look out for your own ass.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
guess
got
what?
It.
For example, if I'm Jason Botchel and I've got to deal with the fact that I have to keep Eichel, Reinhart, Mittelstadt, Nylander are all going to be factors now.
Yeah.
They might let Nylander be exposed based on this.
Or they may give up a pick so that Nylander doesn't get taken.
Now, my big thing is this. If you're hitting on picks, then yes, it's going to matter a little bit more. But there are teams that are going to be in a little more desperate situation than Buffalo is.
Yeah.
And because you got to think, Dahlin now is going to be a player that you have to look out for. Ristolainen is a player you have to look out for.
If you want, yeah. So let's okay. If we want to predict right now, because remember, this expansion is probably not going to be.
Like the Sabres might be a team that has to pay up.
Yeah.
But there are going to be teams that are going to be stubborn and say, no, take this guy. Because why? I need to keep my picks so that I can keep in-house and I can keep developing and growing my team.
And that's going to be the debate is how many teams want to keep their picks or how many teams are willing to give them up to keep their players.
And that's why I think if the same expansion rules apply, Seattle's going to be fine. They're going to be pretty good. I think the NHL changes it a little. I think they make it a little more...
You think they might...
I think they curve it again. Because what they did... As Greg Wyshynski had said to Shelton Bulldog, was set. They fixed the expansion draft. They made it a little bit better so that teams can compete. That was the goal, to have them compete, not dominate. I think they change it slightly. I think you get to keep one or two more players. There's a little more flexibility.
I can see that.
And if it's one or two more players per team, that is a big difference.
It is. They might go like maybe 8 forwards and 4 defensemen
and
a goalie.
I think you get an 85 to 90 point season from Seattle. If the same rules apply.
Watch the rules get curved just a little bit.
I think they get curved, and I think Seattle ends up a contender for the playoffs, but not a team that rolls through.
Watch it gets curved to like 8 forwards, 4 defensemen, and a goalie, and like 10 skaters total.
Yeah.
Or 10 skaters total. Seattle drafts a team, and they still win the Stanley Cup for sure. Watch it happen.
If it happens and two expansion teams make the Stanley Cup finals, then you really are a garage league.
Watch it happen.
So there's that.
Watch it happen.
You know what? All right. I think we're good here, man. We did a lot.
We did a lot today.
And I would love to give my takes on the Sabres and Tavares and O'Reilly and everything like that. But there are plenty more podcasts to do that then.
There's still a lot of time because we still don't know
what
Tavares is going
to
do.
Guess what? Still a Stanley Cup final to get through.
Still got the final to watch. The West final is over. Vegas is in.
We might
Washington game 6 is tomorrow. If Washington wins, game 7 is Wednesday.
Yeah, we might have our Stanley Cup preview officially on Wednesday.
It will be Wednesday.
But if, say, Washington and Tampa ends up as the Wednesday night game, we just have to predict our winner and go from there again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Kind of like what we did with
the Jets thing.
With the Jets in Nashville. So, no, I think that... Yeah, we've got a lot to worry about here with hockey, not just in Buffalo, but in the NHL in itself.
Yeah.
I would say, though, personally, have fun. Watch these guys because they're actually fun. They're really entertaining.
And here's something funny. Fleury told Derek Englund is the one who took the photo with Bill Daly for the trophy. He's pretty much the de facto captain.
Because he's the Vegas native.
Yeah. Fleury told him to touch it because it worked well for Crosby.
Superstitions.
Crosby touched it 3 times, and
he's touched it, but he hasn't carried it around.
Right.
There's a difference. It's accepting the fact that you did something important.
Yeah.
But when you carry it around, that is a little different because if you don't carry it around, that means, well, we still have our eyes on the big prize.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the superstitions mean nothing.
No, they don't. They it's just funny. It's just funny how people talk about that.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. But that's funny, though, that you got a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury in the Stanley
Cup. He's just like,
final.
Hey, yeah, go touch it. It worked so well for Crosby.
Yeah, so.
And he's right. Crosby touched it three times, touched the Prince of Wales Trophy three times, mm-hmm. like took a picture of it and then like held it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's won the Stanley Cup three times as well.
Yeah. I think, though, that we've got ourselves
all three times he's touched it, he's won the Stanley Cup.
Another hockey-heavy podcast here today, Frank, on the leftovers.
You kind of have to.
Kind of have to right now. And OTAs start on Tuesday for the Bills,
ooh,
as a matter of fact. So yeah, we'll get some football back into this because we could start projecting some more things on the Bills and how
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Franchise quarterback.
AJ McCarron. Nathan Peterman, if you have to. Choose your fighter for your quarterback.
Yeah, choose your guy.
So I think we'll be getting back some football on Wednesday as well.
Sweden won the World Hockey Championship.
Canada, no medal.
Canada, no medal.
Connor McDavid and no medal.
Pat Kane won MVP.
Okay.
He had 20 points in 10 games.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in order to get the U.S. a bronze medal, that kind of had to happen.
Yeah.
Because the U.S. roster wasn't necessarily what I'd call good.
Yeah.
But Canada, with Connor McDavid and Ryan O'Reilly hanging out, and they didn't get anything.
Nope. And O'Reilly said, I have to be better.
I'm getting tired of that.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
I feel like it's, at some point, you have to start saying something else. Because stop putting the blame on yourself. Because if you're doing that, then you're in your own head, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be better. I suck. You know, everything like that. Me. It's a me problem. You know, like I'm being the problem. Then that kind of affects your play after a while once you start telling yourself that enough.
Yeah, Pat Kane led the tournament in points, 20 and 10. McDavid at 17 and 10.
McDavid was furious when they had to take overtime against Latvia. Like, he didn't even celebrate his goal to win it. He was just like, whatever. We just ended up in overtime against Latvia. Let's go to the locker room. But hey, if Jack Eichel were to do that, certain paper guy would be like, hey, he's being a little immature.
Connor McDavid does it. Oh, he's just so passionate about the game. You know, he knows that you shouldn't be taking Latvia to overtime.
Hashtag narratives.
Hashtag narratives are narratives.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank O'Curry.
Thanks for listening, as always, on WGR550.com. Hope you had fun with your hockey talk the same way we had fun talking about it. And thank you for always listening. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we have these things loaded up. Today, a little later than usual, but we wanted to watch the Vegas game.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to get it interrupted here. And I'm kind of happy that I did, because that allowed us to just spew everything out that we did.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too.
Obviously, always listen to our shows here on WGR. Howard and Jeremy, Shilton Bulldog, Instigators, One Bills Live, Nightcap, Sports Talk Saturday and Sundays. And of course, thanks for listening to us as well. Thanks for taking the time, as always, to listen to us. And you know what? Gotta catch them all.
Okay.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.